Gridiron Sticks back here. So this past week in the NFL, I don't know, it was okay, I guess. Big Sunday night matchup, the undefeated Patriots taking on Baltimore Ravens. So it was the highly anticipated game of the week, and
it didn't live up to the hype.
No.
It's
the Ravens jumped out to a 17-0 lead. Patriots battled back, and then really the play beginning of the first half where Edelman fumbled and then they returned it for a touchdown, that just
sealed the win pretty much.
That was it.
Yeah, it was. I mean, kudos to the Ravens. I'm not going to knock them for, you know, what they did, because they pretty much did what no one else could.
Yeah.
And that was, I mean, just not even beat the Patriots, but even make a game of it. And they made a game of it, and
they dominated.
They didn't take their foot off the gas. I mean, a little bit in the second quarter when the Patriots started creeping back in, but
they never
gave up the lead.
They exposed the Patriots defense, which was the first time all year, even though last week against the Browns, Nick Chubb kind of exposed them a little bit, but the Ravens.
But that stopped quickly because then the Patriots jumped out to a lead, and
yeah,
once you do that. But, I mean, the Ravens got the ball, drove right down the field.
With ease.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens with a dual-threat quarterback, is you're going to get.
Honestly, he didn't beat the Patriots with his arm. He beat him with his legs.
He doesn't ever beat anybody with his arm, except for the Dolphins, because he just beat them both ways. But, yeah, I mean, I guess the only plus, really, out of this game is that you can run on New England. And that's – but then again, if you play them, you're going to want the ball first and you're going to want to score.
Yeah.
Like, right. I mean, and a touchdown, not just a field goal. You need a touchdown right away.
Yeah.
To set an edge. And they – Ravens did that pretty quickly. So, kudos to them. Moved to 6-2.
Patriots moved to 8-1.
Ravens are a real threat. I mean, they got smacked by the Browns, and ever since then, they've looked like a true contending team. So,
yeah, well, and then so now the 49ers, the only team left undefeated.
Yeah, and they got the they played on Thursday.
Yeah,
that really wasn't. I mean, it was a good game, but everybody knew San Francisco was going to win that game. Other than that, see, this was really, I mean, do you really see any of these scores and are just like, okay, well, there is one that I see. I mean, aside from New England and Baltimore, is there any that really jump out at you? And, I mean, the first one that does to me, even though it was a later game, was definitely the Chargers against the Packers. The Packers were thought of, I mean, are still thought of, and I'm not ever going to say against this, but Aaron Rodgers is a top five quarterback. I don't care what ranking you put it. He's definitely up there. They were 7-1. They were literally dominating, not per se everybody they played, but when Aaron Rodgers gets going and gets on a roll like he was, that's a scary team. He's meshing with Matt LaFleur. You don't see him all, you know, going against his coach or looking upset. But the Chargers put us, I don't know what they did, whether it was playing on the West Coast or something, but the Chargers, they looked pretty good.
Well, for me, a score that kind of stands out is the fact that the Miami Dolphins now have their first victory of the season.
Oh, boy.
But
okay, what I want to take away from that is that, okay, kudos to the Dolphins. Okay, you won a game. But you literally, you moved from first overall pick to at least probably third now because you beat the Jets and you're the same record.
Yeah.
So you screwed yourself there. Now, this draft is full of quarterbacks, so maybe they said, hey, maybe we don't like any of them more than, you know, we don't like one single quarterback above the rest. And the college football season's pretty far into it, so they should know by now. Maybe they were just like, you know, we can afford this win. I mean, they showed glimpses of it against the Steelers last week, that they have a fighting, you know, persona about them.
Well, that's mainly Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, yeah. And on the other side, the Jets really should have blown up whenever they had the chance.
Yeah.
Like, you hung on. Now, okay, Jamal Adams says whatever he says, you know, does he want to play there, blah, blah, blah. You know, every NFL player is going to say they want to play for the team that they are currently playing for.
Yeah.
Except Jalen Ramsey. But you had Robbie Anderson on the trade block. You were obviously more than willing to sell Le'Veon.
Yep.
Jamal Adams was obviously, you were in deep talks with Dallas about him.
But they, I heard like the package for that was supposed to be like trying to get
Zach Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dallas probably wouldn't have accepted that, but I mean, if they probably had more time, Jerry Jones could have persuaded them to do something. But now you keep those three guys, okay? I'm not saying Robbie Anderson is on the level of Le'Veon and Jamal Adams, but you say you are
like a fourth or a fifth for him.
I mean, you say that you wanted to get rid of him, and now you have all these guys. And honestly, is Darnold really the answer for that team?
I think he is.
Okay, but it's not just 1 year of struggles. Like, this is a year and a half now.
Yeah, but to be fair, okay, his best receiver is Robbie Anderson, who is, I don't know, third best on, like, any other
team? Most teams, yeah, probably.
And he's their number one guy.
Yeah. Well,
they beefed up their defense.
Yeah, they did. They had C.J. Mosley, and, I mean, unfortunately, Avery Williamson was done for the year, but...
The thing of it is, though, is, like, they don't got an offensive line.
No.
They don't have a threat at tight end.
No.
They don't have a threat at wide receiver, as you mentioned. So, okay, you have Le'Veon and you have Sam Darnold. You have a threat out of the backfield. But people know. Like,
they can. He hasn't had 100 yards this year rushing. He really hasn't done much at all. But, see, now you're in that awkward position because you're probably in the – well, you're definitely in the top five, okay?
Yeah.
But if you're in the top two, do you – I think their biggest need, like you were saying, or probably getting to, is probably receiver.
Yeah, it's most definitely getting a number one receiver.
But do you take a chance on one that high in, like, second overall?
No. You trade down with a QB-needing team.
Well, Cincinnati and Miami are definitely in the top five.
Yeah, a potential team could be Chicago, Tennessee. Those teams might be like looking
that are desperate to jump and get up to it, and then you just gain even more capital from that.
Exactly, and then you can take a receiver with that other pick.
Now it might not be Jerry Jeudy, but you could still get a. There's still some solid ones after him. CeeDee Lamb, Henry Ruggs.
Yep, Henry
his
Ruggs,
teammate or no. Jeudy's teammate.
Okay.
CeeDee Lamb's out of Oklahoma. Yeah, I mean, there's still some solid, I mean, really solid options after him. But
you could trade down.
And... Yeah. Another one I wanted to get to is, okay, Kansas City and Minnesota.
Yeah.
All right. I'll say my tidbit and I'll let you say whatever you want. Kirk Cousins can't beat teams above 500. He can't. No matter who they are. He just – he's holding this team back. Now, yes, okay. Wow, why do you say that, Logan? You know, they're second in their division. Okay. This is a Chiefs team without Mahomes. Matt Moore hasn't played realistically in probably, what, a year and a half? He's two games in. Now I get, okay, the Chiefs roster doesn't change after that. But that defense, the Chiefs defense is nothing to be afraid of.
Okay, but they got Chris Jones back.
Yeah, and okay, they're at home. Yeah, they have one of the best home field advantages.
They get Chris Jones back, who's a run-stuffing defender, and Minnesota's best part of their offense is their rushing attack.
I know, but you got, okay, Thielen went out of the game. Okay, you know.
My take boo-hoo. For this game why the Vikings lost is because they didn't manage the time well.
No, they really didn't. They – okay, that's a little – it was like the Chiefs had probably 2.5 minutes more. Okay, 3.5 minutes more.
I'm meaning in terms of their last possession.
I mean, Dalvin Cook only had 71 yards rushing. Your leading receiver was Laquon Treadwell. I mean, they were in it. It's not like it was a blowout. You know, they were in it until the end, but then, you know, Tyreek Hill did what he does best and beats defenders. But Kirk Cousins, 19 of 38, 220. I mean, three touchdowns, but 19 of 38. I'm not saying that's like, oh my gosh, you know, we need to be careful. But, so we'll just need to take a little step back. I'd say the most interesting part of this game was Damian Williams' 91-yard touchdown run.
Yeah.
Okay. Tyreek Hill caught up to him.
Yeah, exactly.
And that was, and he beat him to the end zone.
Yeah.
Like, he was, like, putting his arm around his back and, like, running with him into the end zone. That's what's creepy. That man has undeniable speed. He's – I wouldn't say he's an elite receiver. I'd say he's more of an elite athlete. Because he can beat anybody. Straight line speed, he's going to probably beat anybody.
I would say he's an elite receiver.
I mean, do you consider him one of, like, an elite route runner?
No.
Okay. That's the biggest thing for me when it comes to receivers is route running.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The game is okay. And, man.
What's up?
Man, Adam Vinatieri. Like, he should have retired. I'm sorry.
Bless his heart, though. I mean, he wants to keep playing. Man's what, 46?
He's up there.
Okay. But when you look at the replay, that's not his fault.
No, but, like, still, it's not just this time, though. He had a miss. He just had, like, he's probably up to, like, 10 misses on the season already.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not like him at all. So.
But that game was something else. I mean, Jacoby Brissett goes down relatively early. And Brian Hoyer comes in and really, I mean, he produced, you know.
Yeah.
Not going to take anything away from him, but.
Three touchdowns.
Only 168 yards passing. I mean, Mason Rudolph only had 191.
Yeah. I don't know. It's.
He did have, well, Vinatieri did have a missed extra point, too. It was blocked, but.
Yeah.
That's just, I mean, it's. It's piling up where I think they need to make a change, whether they like it or not.
Or they start only, like, they do two-point conversions rather than kicking extra points. But
if Brissett's injury is worse than what, you know, you think of, do you really want to?
Well, see, the thing of it is we're already past the deadline now.
Yeah, but there's still some, no, there's really not. You might have to take a chance on a free agent because if he – well, at least bring in a guy to make him fight for his job.
Yeah.
Do that. Bring in somebody.
Bring a guy on the practice squad.
Yeah. Because I think you can afford to cut one of your, you know, extra linebackers or something.
Yeah.
Or probably three receivers they have. Which, T.Y. being out, they might need him. They might promote one of those guys. Let's see. Well, do you want to get into, like, before we do the overreaction thing, do you want to get into tonight's game real quick?
Yeah, we can. The Cowboys at the Giants.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be beautiful, 56 degrees.
I mean,
realistically, I don't see Dallas losing this game.
No.
But Giants are at home, and, hey, the Cowboys did lose in the stadium earlier on in the year, to a team that is worse than the Giants. But I don't see it. It's a division game. They're going to be playing harder than they were when they played the Jets, okay?
Yeah.
Because you don't go into a division game being like, okay, we're going to win this game. Because that's probably what they did against the Jets, and then it hit them in the butt, and it's like, wait. You know, this is another NFL team, but, like, you take division games more than a cross-conference game. So I think Dallas wins this game, and I really don't think it's close.
I'm taking Dallas – probably 34-10.
Wow. Yeah, I'm more like, now I realize that in our past on our YouTube channel that I did pick the Giants in this game. Mm-hmm. But no, I think Dallas probably wins 20, I'll say 27-17.
Yeah.
But I think there's a garbage time touchdown in there for New York. So really it's more like a three possession game most of the day for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, as you mentioned, we'll get into the overreactions.
Yeah. I actually want to go first on this one.
Okay.
I'll ask you, since there is only one left, do you consider the 49ers – okay, here. Overreaction, not an overreaction. Do you, the 49ers are the best team in the NFL?
Overreaction.
Okay. I agree, because that's just one of those things where, like, everybody's going to be saying,
Although, I do have to admit, though.
Okay.
They have an amazing running game.
Yes.
Emmanuel Sanders helps out the receiving attack.
And sure does. And they have an
amazing defense.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't say they're the best.
It just all depends.
I would have them in my top three.
Their longevity of the season is going to depend on Garoppolo.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying I don't believe in him, but...
No, but...
Inexperience in the playoffs is going to be...
He's still good.
Yeah. All right, you got one?
Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
MVP.
Are you asking me, like, is he in the consideration or is he the MVP right now?
The MVP.
The MVP. I want to go with not an overreaction, because I can see your argument here.
Yeah.
This man pretty much, for lesser extent, is kind of carrying this team to where they are. Now, granted, he's not having – I mean, yesterday he had 146 yards rushing, okay?
He has 881 yards rushing on the season.
Now, every game isn't consistent for him.
No.
But the touchdowns are consistent.
Yeah.
This man seems to find the end zone at will. And he's one of the smallest guys on the field.
Yeah.
His route running for a running back is insane. His vision, everything is insane. This man just wants to win. Do I think he's going to be the MVP at the end of the year? Probably not. But
I mean, he has 13 touchdowns, 10 rushing, 3 receiving.
Do I believe that he deserves all the credit and should be in the conversation? Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
I just think it's more, like we've always said on the show, it's more of a quarterback award, unfortunately, for the skill positions, because who makes the quarterback? The skill position players.
Yeah.
But I full on agree with you. I think he deserves all the consideration in the world for that award. Right. All right, I got one. The Bills are a playoff contender.
Are we meaning like they're going to make the playoffs? Are we meaning
like right now? Okay, obviously if the season ended right now, they'd be in. Yeah. But as they stand right now, do you think they can make the playoffs?
Yeah. It's solely based on how easy their schedule is.
Fair enough.
Like, I don't even know who they have. Okay, they have the Browns. And then they play the Dolphins. Broncos, Cowboys, Ravens, Steelers, Patriots, Jets.
Well, that three-game stretch there that you just said is probably going to be a little difficult.
Four-game stretch.
Yeah.
I'd throw the Cowboys in there.
Yeah.
But playing the Dolphins, playing the Broncos, both should be wins. That puts them already at eight wins.
Eight wins, so they're already .500.
And then playing the Jets last week, a season.
That's another win.
That's 9. And probably against the Browns, that's 10.
Is the Browns game in Cleveland or in Buffalo?
It's in Cleveland.
I don't want to call it a win yet, but I'm more than likely leaning that way. So that's probably double-digit wins.
And they're probably getting maybe one win in that four-game stretch.
Yeah.
So
you can realistically see one win. So that's 11-5, 10-6 at worst, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, 9-7 at worst. But that's still, in the AFC,
that's probably a lock.
Yeah, that's probably a lock for a playoff team.
Because as it stands right now, they're the first wild card spot.
Yeah, they're holding tight to it. And with with New England's loss, they're still, you know, the division isn't completely out of reach. But
they're technically a game and a half back.
Well, they're 6-2. The Patriots are 8-1. So the Patriots are getting their bye.
Yeah, but the Patriots also have that.
Right, so they are a game and a half, but even if they would tie them, the Patriots still have the tiebreaker for now. So
that Week 16 matchup of the Patriots
could be a lot more interesting than what it looks like right now.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, I would definitely say that.
You still consider them in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sadly. I mean, it has nothing.
Don't say sadly, but.
It has nothing to do with their player personnel whatsoever. Yeah. It has everything to do with how easy their schedule is.
But we're not saying that just because they make the playoffs, are they going to.
They're going to be a one.
Wreak havoc.
They're going to be a one and done.
So they're gonna make the wild card round, and you say whoever is probably the fourth seed.
They're going to spank them.
Yeah. Honestly. But that's probably going to be.
Probably Houston or Indy.
Houston or Indy. Well, as it looks like right now, we can probably say Houston because we don't know Jacoby Brissett's injury severity. But, yeah, I would definitely pick Houston if that was right now. Not neutral field, but in Houston, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
But, like, just looking at the AFC East standings right now, you have top two teams are 8-1 and 6-2.
Would you say this is probably the most, like,
unbalanced?
The parity in this division is the least? Because you literally have 8-1 and 6-2, and then you have 2-1-7 teams.
Yeah.
Like, usually when you think about it, you have the division leader, and then you have the second place, which is probably like a game or two behind, and then third place is usually like two games behind second place.
Yeah.
But second and third place in that division is separated by 5 games.
Yeah. Well, literally, when you look at that, like the record of all those teams added up, they're 16-17. Like,
well, as of right now, look at this. The NFC has the only undefeated team.
Yeah.
And the AFC has the only winless team. Because, like, going off of that, the AFC North has a combined 12 wins. Well, the AFC South has 19. And the AFC West has 17.
Yeah.
So we know which division's the worst. Not necessarily the worst, but like
in terms of like overall division.
Yeah. Which I think the NFC East has only 12 wins, but the Cowboys and Giants have yet to play. Yeah. So one of them's gonna win.
Yeah.
So they're gonna get it. The NFC North is 19. The NFC South is 18. And the NFC West is 23.
Yeah.
So if you combine all the records, the NFC is definitely
the better
conference. Is superior to the AFC. But my lord.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into some NHL stuff since we briefly discussed about it last week.
All right.
So a team that's kind of flying under the radar right now. And I don't know how they're flying under the radar right now.
Okay.
Is the New York Islanders.
Yeah.
They're on a 9-game win streak.
No one's talking about them.
Absolutely nobody's
talking about them. Well, no one. Okay. I mean, when last year ended, no one even, like, looking ahead to this season, no one considered them anywhere close. No.
Everybody wrote them off last year. Everybody wrote them off this year, including myself.
Which I'm sure that's probably what they want to hear, too.
Yeah.
So.
And, like, flying under the radar, currently standing 10-3. I mean, hey, that's a good
second record. In the Metro.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah. They're doing pretty well for themselves, for where they were positioned, you know, where people saw them at the beginning. 9-game. How long do you think that'll stand, though?
I don't know their schedule, but.
Do they play tonight?
I don't believe so.
They do not. Next game they have. Okay, they have the Senators tomorrow.
Which is probably a win.
And then
Penguins.
So then that's 10 games. Yeah, and then they welcome Pittsburgh in on Thursday.
I mean, I don't see this lasting too much longer.
No. But
you got, because after Pittsburgh, you got Florida, Toronto, Philly, and then a back-to-back. Well, not necessarily back-to-back, but like
one of the home and away, yeah.
Against Pittsburgh and then San Jose, and then they make their West Coast travel. So I don't really see it going on that much longer.
If they stay consistent, you know.
Honestly, if they can just pick up points, while taking games to overtime,
make it worth it.
But honestly, I mean, I know we've talked about the a lot, but so the real disappointments of the season.
Oh, I can see a glaring one right now. San Jose?
Yeah. Sitting last in the Western Conference right now.
At 4-10-1.
Like.
Wow.
I knew, like, goaltending was going to be an issue.
Okay.
At the start of the season. But I didn't think they'd have problem, like, have issues with scoring. Like. Okay, I'm just kind of, like, briefly looking over some other teams. Okay, so I know that Chicago's had a tough time scoring.
Right.
Chicago's played two less games than them, and the Sharks only have five more goals than them.
Well, the Sharks' point differential is
minus 20.
Absolutely horrible.
They're both bad home and away, which, like, typically they're amazing at the Shark Tank.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Martin Jones, Aaron Dell have absolutely struggled this year. It's good to see that Dallas has, like, I guess, regained their form from last year, starting to bounce back a little bit now. They're kind of more middle of the pack in terms of the Western Conference. But, like, honestly, I know we're early. Like, we're almost, like, briefly a quarter of the way in.
Yeah.
But teams that have really surprised me, basically the entire – top three in the Pacific, Edmonton, Vancouver, and Anaheim.
Yeah.
That's
wild. Well, yeah. That's a little ironic. Hey, St. Louis, though. You doubted them. They're doing pretty well for themselves.
Okay, they're top of their division, but they have a differential of plus one.
Yeah.
So.
They're scoring, but they're also giving up a lot.
Yeah. They're giving up roughly three goals per game.
Yeah. But so they're also scoring.
Three goals per game.
Yeah.
So
there's a good and a bad.
Yeah.
With them. Washington always, you know.
Yeah, Washington
is always a regular is always a really good regular season team.
Boston's actually kind of flying under the radar.
10-1-2. One regulation loss.
Yeah.
It's pretty decent. And I know they play Pittsburgh tonight, so that should be a good game.
Yeah, but Buffalo, Florida. I mean, Florida was able to survive the month of October.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so Bobrovsky's stats in the month of October are horrendous. And they were able to survive it with a 7-3-4 record. As we mentioned earlier with St. Louis, like, differential, Florida's is even.
It's dead even.
But, and I mean, they're giving up a lot of goals, but they're also scoring a lot. So, I mean, it makes up for it.
Yeah.
But as playoffs stand right now today, Pittsburgh, Toronto holding up that wild card spot. I mean, that's
yeah.
You got Tampa looking in.
Which
at the beginning of the season, if you told me Tampa was outside of the top three in the Atlantic, I'd call you crazy.
If I told you they'd only have 14 points 13 games into the season.
Yeah. I mean, granted, now Victor Hedman has missed, I think, past two games with an injury, and will miss until, I think, Friday.
Hmm.
He might be eligible to come back, but even still.
You still wouldn't think we were talking, right?
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, and then when it comes to rookie scoring, so... Okay, obviously you have the top guys of Jack Hughes, Kaapo Kakko, Cale Makar, Quinn Hughes. Like, those are probably your big four. Jack Hughes and Kaapo Kakko have struggled this season to start off. But when you come to guys like Cale Makar and Quinn Hughes, they're performing. I'd say they're performing better than I expected.
Really?
To be completely honest. And I know Jack Hughes struggled out of the gate, but he's starting to pick it up now. Now has 7 points in 12 games. But overall, I don't know. I think it's a down year for rookies, but
a very, hyped up rookie class too.
Yeah.
Well, at least the top two were.
I mean, I've heard a lot of things that being like, "Oh, is Jack Hughes a bust?" This and that. I'm just like,
we're not even a quarter of the way into the season.
Yeah, this kid's gonna be amazing. It's just a matter of
developing,
gelling, and
yeah, it'll be fine. They'll be fine.
It'll be all right.
Oh yeah. Just looking at some other stuff. Nothing really pops out at me.
Yeah, I mean, you have David Pastrnak leading the league in points with 27.
Yeah, Draisaitl's right on his tail, though.
Yeah, but Draisaitl's played two more games than him. So, I mean, when I look at the top 10 in scoring, a name that stands out to me, and this dude needs a lot more credit than he is given, and that dude is Jonathan Huberdeau. He had 92 points last year and was not talked about at all. This year, he's already up to 18 points in 14 games. That he needs some recognition. Like, people down in Florida, give him some credit.
Yeah.
Like, this man is good.
I don't know, man.
I mean, Colorado is kind of struggling right now since they're two out of their three top out of their top lines that currently out, but they're still moving along pretty nicely. And overall, it's just kind of, I don't know. The Western Conference is about if he has can be, and it's still way too early to make any predictions.
From what we've seen so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, like we were saying, you know, it's not even a quarter of the way into the year, so.
Yeah.
You can see the obvious, you know, surprises right now, but are they going to be the same when it comes to, you know, February or March when the real stretch begins, kind of.
Yeah. Like right now, you want to get as much points as possible, so that way you're not chasing
that way, March. Yeah, teams that have realistically struggled in the past couple of years are kind of surprising. And then who knows what the Sharks are going to do. They need to pick it up soon.
My biggest thing right now, so Buffalo started off the year super hot, but they're starting to trail off again. Just like they did last year and the season before.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hey, stuff's kind of...
9 wins in 15 games.
It's not bad, but they're 5-4-1 in their past 10, which...
That's a little concerning.
Yeah.
But still got a whole lot of ice to skate on, so...
Yeah.
We're going to be fine.
Yeah, there's really not many notable injuries. Patrick Hornquist... out long term. Mm-hmm. Victor Hedman, as I briefly discussed earlier, he's currently on IR, should be expected back around Friday, which is I think they're doing like the global series.
Oh.
Over in Sweden.
Love it.
Or Finland maybe.
Gotta love it.
Yeah. There's really not much going on around the NHL. There's really trade rumors aren't really there yet.
You don't think?
Although, if you're an Ottawa Senators fan, I know, like, the past 2 years have been absolutely rough, but there's one bright side, and it's the fact that you're currently sitting last in the NHL. I don't mean to joke about it, but you're last in the NHL, and then... So you obviously have your first-round pick, which should be top four.
Hopefully.
Yeah. But when you look at it, you then have San Jose sitting at 29. So, and they have San Jose's first-round pick. So I'm not saying San Jose is going to finish bottom of the league.
But imagine.
But imagine if they did. You get two top picks. And then all of a sudden you're looking at yourself and you're like, hey.
We have a dynamic duo of the future and
yeah,
all these years of struggling.
They might actually end up paying off.
Yeah.
Which honestly, if I'm, see, this is tough now. Because I've heard Brady Tkachuk can play center and whatnot. Say they get the first overall pick.
Okay.
And you get Alexis Lafreniere. And then say you get like third or fourth. Then you get probably Lucas Raymond or Alexander Holtz. Both of whom I'm big fans of. Fans of all three of the names that I just listed.
Yeah.
If you get two of those three guys, then you throw on Brady Tkachuk on that top line with his grit. And, like...
Boy.
You got a top line now that's actually...
It's going to be scary.
Yeah. So, for Ottawa Senators fans, I know, like, it's going to suck for the rest of this year. You have Thomas Chabot, who's a great defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
But, realistically, things should be looking up. And, I mean, you should hope that San Jose keeps struggling.
Yeah. You really have to.
Yeah. But, yeah, that really just wraps up the NHL.
Yeah.
Not much going on.
There really, this week wasn't very, nothing really happened.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Across the NFL, NHL, really nothing major happened.
No. I mean, really, aside from what we didn't mention was that, you know, Dwayne Haskins got his first start in the NFL, but.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nothing was worth talking about, so.
Yeah.
So
wraps it up.
Yeah, I don't really have much else. I mean, let's hope this next week provides us with some sparks or what have you.
Yeah. Well, we'll see you guys next week.